Good morning. How is everyone today?
All right, thank you.
Hallelujah. This is what we like. This is a new day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So let me get my little scripture out to start us off. Actually, this one's one that's actually quite close to my heart, and it says, "Your goodness, O Lord, extends to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is the mountain of God, and your judgment is the great deep. Man and beast you save." God is so good. God is so faithful. And actually, the songs that the Lord was reminding me of this morning was God's faithfulness, God's goodness. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He is always right there waiting. But sometimes it's us that we don't come in and spend time with him. Sometimes we don't know how. And there can be many hindrances to that, but the Lord is beckoning us this morning to enter in, to come close. He's right there waiting, and he wants and desires you. So we're going to sing the song, "Great is thy faithfulness, an oldie but a goodie." So let's stand up together, put our garments of praise on, and let's worship the King. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, every single day, Lord God. It is your air that we breathe, Lord. It is you that has made us, you knitted us in our mother's womb, Lord God. It is you that sustains us, Lord. And you sustain the people that don't even know they're being sustained. You gave life to the people that didn't even know they had life given to them by you, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, not just for your grace in our lives, but for the grace in other people's lives that they don't even realize, Lord, the fact that they're alive. But Lord, we praise you and we worship you. We adore you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So I just want to give a little testimony. I said to Dean earlier, so I was going, well, I've been a part of my course. I go down to Glasgow twice a year. So I've been holding off fire for paying for basically the travel and the staying. I thought, oh gosh, it's like a lot of money and I'm trying to work out all these things. I'm like, Lord, whatever happens, I'll pay for it at some point. And yesterday, and this is the month I have to pay for it because it's in October, so it's got to be paid for. And yesterday I had a tax letter come through and it's £400. And I thought, it's literally 300 and something odd pounds that I need to pay for this trip. And God has literally provided that and some more. And we think about God's faithfulness, but sometimes God's thinking about us, even when we're not thinking about him. He's thinking about things that we need, even when we sometimes don't realize that we need them. We're just like, oh, it'll be fine, I'll just get through. And then God's like, here you are, I'm watching over you, I'm caring for you, I'm lifting you up. And sometimes when you're going through difficulty, you can forget that. You can forget the goodness of God. But God is always there, right there waiting for us. So praise Jesus. He is good. The Lord is already here. You know, there's no question about that. But it's when we become aware of his presence. And what I found myself is the more time that I've just spent being with God, the more that I've been able to recognize his presence, the more sensitive, you know, I've become to his presence. And initially it was difficult because I was like, Lord, I can't feel you and all these other people, these incredible things are happening. And Lord, I'm like, what's going on? Why can't I feel you? Why are other people, you know, encountering you like this, but not me? You know, in a selfish way, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe there's something wrong with me. But actually what I found is the more time that I just spent with God in the secret place, just being, yeah, of course you worship, you do things. But sometimes just sitting down with God, that's when God's like, finally, woman, you're going to sit down. And then he came and he's like, let me show you this, let me show you that. You know, and it's relationship. And I do think that the Lord is in more than what we know. And that sometimes I think he even uses people that don't know him as well. And you're like, Lord, I can see you moving in this person. Actually, I want to give a quick testimony, and this is wild. So two people at work have had dreams that I've been able to speak into around the same sort of time, like which I believe are prophetic dreams. And then one person had a vision the other day while I was in work. And I could not believe it. She came over and she said, Megan, I've got to tell you this. I've got to tell someone. She goes, I've had a vision. You know, she'd seen, I think, her sister having a baby. Coming apart, and she was like, and it gave me the opportunity to speak to her and say, and she said she reckoned it's because she's been around me too long. And I said, the Lord is speaking. You know, and the Lord wants to speak to unbelievers. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes you could just be saying things and it seeds. But it's in that relationship where people start to learn and start to understand. And when God moves supernaturally and go, oh, well, this is what that is. This is what you can interpret that as. We might not always get it right, but you can try. You know, so God is moving. We thank you so much, Father God, that you sent your Son. And that, Lord Jesus, you sent your Spirit, Lord. We literally cannot do anything without you, Lord. We generally cannot. This whole church thing, Jesus, this is a you thing. And we need you. And we need your presence, Lord. And you're already here, Lord. But we recognize you. We recognize the movement of you in our own lives and in other people, Lord. And we say more, more of you, Lord. That you would refresh us, Lord. That you would refresh the dry and weary land that is within us, Lord. And there is much. I talk about myself, Lord Jesus. But we say, come and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as many of you may know, we're talking about transformed by truth. We're going to be talking about water waders. Has anyone heard about water waders before? Has anyone got any idea? Anyone? Yeah, definitely. Down the right kind of, yeah, fishing kind of stuff. Yes, but Claire, why do they use them? I'm testing you before the sermon. Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's great. So, water waders. So, looking at the actual definition of the word wade. So, the Lord said to me, and I was asking about the sermon, he was like, wade. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll search that up. What on earth is that? And this is what the definition says. It says, and it can mean slightly different things, but it says, to wade is to push through water, regardless of the resistance. It can either be through a body of deep water or swamp-like conditions. It can also mean to move or proceed with difficulty or labor, or to work or to attack with determination or vigor. To push through, yeah. And I feel like this is really a word for the season, really, that many of us are finding ourselves in places of resistance, you know, places where there is water and things in front. And you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Where do I go? Where do I go from here? And there's a scripture that the Lord brought me to in Isaiah 43, verse 2, and it's a very popular one. Actually, I need my Bible because I'm going to read the whole of the passage because this only gives a little... Oh, there it is. So if you've got your Bible, if you want to head to Isaiah 43. Okay. And this is what it says. So what I would really like you to do is something a little bit different. Sometimes we do these kind of things, but I've got a little picture here. Can anyone describe to me what this is? Courtesy of Levi Strauss & Co., can I say? So what is this? It's waters. So what we're going to do is, you don't have to do this, but you're welcome to do this. So you can close your eyes as we listen to the scripture. You can look at the picture if that helps you. And we're going to imagine ourselves walking with Jesus, walking through the waters, walking through the fire. And that's going to look different for everyone because everyone's got something different going on. And even if it's Maybe not you that's walking through something. You might think about a situation that God, you know, is doing, helping somebody else in their lives, or somebody else that needs God's touch. So, as I said, you can close your eyes, you can look at the picture, and I really want you to meditate on this. Imagine yourself, enter into the scripture, because scripture is an invitation for us to enter into. And sometimes we can just read something, but it's even more powerful when we enter into the scripture. And this is what it says, so as I said. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush, I don't know how you say it, Sabah in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight. And because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. Wow. The Lord's being very direct there, really. And, you know, he's commanding us not to fear and do these things. And sometimes it's difficult. I speak of my own life. Sometimes, you know, God's saying something, but you really struggle. But what the Lord is saying here is that we belong to him. If you are in Jesus, you belong to Jesus. Therefore, you are his responsibility. He has redeemed you. And in his faithfulness and in his goodness, he is going to take care of you. And sometimes it's hard when you don't see how it's going to happen. And your faith muscles are stretched and you're like, oh my goodness, my faith muscles must be getting really big because this is getting really tight. But there is waters that come. There is things and rivers and things of uncertainty that come into our lives. And I even think about the storm with Jesus. Actually, I went to, I think it's called Frameless the other day. It's an exhibition. I wanted to put it on here and I thought, oh no. But basically, for those of you that don't know, there's like the Sea of Galilee and it's all electronic and I think it's holograms. It is projective, not holograms, not yet. Projective. And you've got it on the ceiling and on the floor and on the side. And you're literally in the midst of this storm. Like the artwork has come to life and you can see the disciples and Jesus in the boat and then the storm and all this going on. But in the same way, we are in the midst of that sometimes. And you can see it going up and over and you're like, Lord, I really don't know what to do right now. You don't. But what God is saying is, that actually, he's not saying that these situations don't happen, because otherwise there would be no water and there would be no river and no sea and no fire. But what God is saying is, in the midst of it all, God is with us. And in our hearts, our faith is tested of the sovereignty of God. Are you the God that stills the storm like Jesus did? Are you the one that speaks and the storm is still? And so often in our lives, we try to control things. Naturally, you know, you're brought up from a young child to learn to control. But in those times where the water and the waves is coming, God is saying to us that we need to let go of the control because we can't help ourselves. And this is where the Lord's like, finally, I can come in and do business for my glory. He can show his glory through things that we cannot do ourselves and ways that we cannot make a way ourselves. And how much greater the testimony when somebody else, you're speaking to an unbeliever, and you say, look, this is my situation. There was no way I could get myself out of this business. But somehow by pure miracle, God came in. So whatever you're going through, God can do it because he's done it. You know, and there's something powerful in a testimony because sometimes we can speak with words about information. But in this postmodern world, people struggle to receive it. But whereas when you speak on the testimony, that gives you an authority, that gives you something that people cannot deny, because that's your truth. You can't say to someone, no, that didn't happen. Well, you could. But it's a lot harder to say when somebody's personally gone through this and their life is a testimony, than coming and saying, this is X, Y, Z. Because they can say, yeah, all right, you think Jesus is the Son of God, you think he's resurrected, but where's the proof? But your life is the proof. Where God's glory is, and God's like, here is my glory, I've done it. If I've done it for them, I can do it for you. So God is so good. And I think as well in that scripture, it talks about being precious in the eyes of God. And sometimes we forget that. You know, sometimes we have, you know, family situations when you're younger and you're like, I don't feel precious, you know, or you have father issues, mother issues, family issues, and you don't see your value, or you've been hurt by other people. But God says that we are precious in his eyes. He's talking to Israel here, but that's an invitation for us. We are precious in his eyes. And also it goes on to talk about, you know, I will bring, I will gather you from the west and from the north, and God's bringing the Israelites to where he wants them to be. But God is sovereign over that. He says to those situations, I'm bringing this person here and I'm bringing this person here. And I think, to be honest, it's extremely exciting what God is doing. So again, this is just a teeny weeny little bit of the context here. And then 43:1-44:5 in Isaiah, this is what it, the context of this, and it says, you know, Yahweh is reaffirming to Israel that Israel belongs to him. You know, Israel is Yahweh's servant. And the Lord is acknowledging, actually, that the people have been going through a difficult time. But even in the trials and in the pain, God is giving a promise that he is with them. And can I say, the water does not last forever. No sea lasts for the whole of the earth. You know, sometimes it is for a time that you are pushing through and you are wading through, but it always ends. You know, there's another side to the river. But I really believe that, and Dave actually spoke about this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but he spoke about running the race. And that's what the Lord is speaking about at the moment, is he is producing perseverance and endurance in us. And it's not always easy. It's not. It is not. So now I want to talk about the reality of the water. And again, this is what in 1 Peter 4:12-13, it says this. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial which has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. I really believe that Lord allows us to go through refinement so his glory can be revealed in us and through us. When there's less of us and more of him. And it's not easy and it's not testing. And I was watching something the other day and it was so incredible, and it spoke about, okay, we say in church, oh yeah, God is this, God is that, God is a promise keeper, amen. You know, God is with me in this, amen. But until you are in the situation where you have to lean on God and believe and have faith that God is Jehovah Jireh, that he is the provider, you know, that he is El Roy, he is the God that sees, and all of these different things, you don't know. Your faith is tested then. And then in John 16, verse 33, it says this, I have said these things to you, that in me that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, he has overcome the world. And in our inability and in our fear, we can hold on to that promise that God has done it. Jesus has done it. It's finished on the cross. Jesus says, it is finished. But we have to pray and believe God that that's what's going to happen. And sometimes the Lord works things out and it doesn't happen like we want it to be. But then it's when we're tested, then actually, Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are, you know, higher than our thoughts. But it's not always easy, you know, trying to get our head around our own understanding. So now becoming the water wader. Serious business, because we need to be kitted out in the best gear as we're walking through the water. And this is so incredible. I was down, I was down Lee, and I got really sunburned, sadly, because I'm a very white woman. And as I was walking, I saw this person in all of his gear. I didn't realize they were waders at the time. And my manager, her husband is a fisherman. Hopefully one day a fisher of men, who knows, I'm hopeful. But yeah, you're always wearing waders. I completely forgot, you know, I completely forgot. And then when the Lord said to me the word wade, I was like, oh, Lord, I've seen them in person when I went to Lee the other day. How incredible. But becoming the water wader. So apparently there's different kind of things. I really wish Dave was here because he's much more wise when it comes to fishing things. I'm not wise. I've never gone fishing before. I don't want to go fishing because I feel bad for the fishies. So, but apparently there's something called a wading staff. Apparently this is it's like a safety pole that can be used to be placed on the ground as though one is moving through a current and a river. Apparently it's called the third leg. How true that is, I don't know. But it gives people that stability, that when they're going through things, they're secure. And in the same way, Jesus needs to be our wading staff when we are going against things that are against us and trials. He is secure and he will help us stay on course. And we think about what it says as Jesus is the good shepherd, you know, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, when you're going through that difficult time. But Jesus is the rod. He is the rock. He is many things, many incredible things. But that's basically what it looks like. I did ask Dave if we could have, like, if he had waders, and he didn't. So I was very disappointed. But apparently it's not that kind of fishing. So as you can see, the waders, we have a lovely man, no idea who that is, but he's our model for today. And it says that waders literally come from the boots up. So I think you can actually get shorter ones depending. But guys, if we're going through the real deep waters, we need to have the best gear. We need it fully up. We need it covering everything. Well, as much as possible. And apparently what it does is it protects you from the harshness and the coldness of the water. And I was thinking, Lord, how can I sort of link this to a biblical truth? And that's why we're going to look at Ephesians that speaks about the armor of God. Obviously, it's going to look different, but it's given you an idea that we need to be covered up. We need to be protected. And I went for a stage and I was putting my armor every day. And then I went for a stage when I wasn't putting on my armor every day. And then I was reminded to put on my armor every day. But there's something that happens in the spirit when we put on the armor of God every day physically. You know, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, and all of these things. So I'm just going to read from Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. And this is what it says. So it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand, that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flames and arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So what Paul's saying here is that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And let me tell you, there is a lot going on in the spirit realm all the time. All the time. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to understand, but there is even people doing witchcraft all the time. You know, local to us, and we sometimes, with our Western mindset, we forget actually that that's going on, and that's become very prominent now. And it's had a massive rise, especially with New Age and astral projection, all that kind of business. That's going on. So as believers, we need to be spiritually kitted out in all of the gear so that when the wave comes, regardless of where it's coming from, we're ready to stand. And then wading boots, there we go. And again, I sort of link this to the shoes of the gospel of peace. But these are boots that we can be secure, you know, when we're walking in slick conditions to stop us from slipping, you know, from any debris and rocks or mossy conditions. And God does offer us a peace. And I found sometimes myself, I can struggle to tune into God's peace, you know, when you're worrying and when you're fearful. But even in that, I found that there's times when I've sat in God's presence and I've felt a peace like I have never, ever felt in my whole life. It's a supernatural kind of peace. And that is what God is offering us when we're able to come into that place. And it says in Scripture, you know, you keep my mind in perfect peace when it is stayed on thee. You know, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, he keeps us in perfect peace. Then wading through the water. You know, Romans 5:3-5 says this: not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Sometimes it's like, how can I rejoice in my suffering, Lord? I'm just about living. I'm alive. I don't want to rejoice in nothing. But there is something in the rejoicing, because Paul had a heavenly perspective. He'd been brought through trials before, but he knew that God could bring him out, regardless if he was in prison or wherever he was. He knew that God was the God of the turnaround. And that this is something the Lord has spoken to me about a while ago, the turnaround. And last night, Jennifer LeClaire had put on, talking about the Lord had given her the word divine turnaround. And I really, really believe that as the seasons change, that God is turning things around and things are going to look very different. There's going to be acceleration. There's going to be excitement. And I think even in the hub that we've joined, I think that's a part of that. So let's wait and see. This is really exciting. And then James 1:2-4 says this: count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Steadfastness. You know, this is all in preparation so that we can deal with what God's got to come and when his glory comes. And that is having that perspective. And it's not always easy. Sometimes it's a mind shift, but it's worth it. And then lastly, a call to refreshing. What happens in the water? Okay, it could be rocking around like this, but there's also an opportunity for refreshing. You know, the water might be cool. You know, it might make you feel a little bit fresh. It might not. You might feel really cold. But I really feel that in these times, as we're walking through the waters, God says that he's with us in the midst of that. But also, there's a desire to drink and to be sustained, Because sometimes, though we can be in the waters, we can actually be really dry because we're just enduring. But God wants to refresh, and give us living water. But this comes through sitting with Jesus. And there's a fight over that sometimes. You're like, Lord, I don't want to do nothing. But when we are obedient and we sit with Jesus, and his presence comes and he physically refreshes us. And the more time that we spend, the more that we can feel his presence and recognize that something changes. And this is the last scripture. And it's John 7, 37 to 39. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit is available to us. The Lord wants to refresh us and come into where we are and where we're having the situation, which is often in us sometimes. But God is always calling and he is always available. Father, we thank you that you are in the fire with us, Lord, that you are in the water with us. Father God, help us to wade through, Lord, to endure, to push forth, Lord God, as you bring the turnaround, Lord God, as you bring what you're going to do, as you bring the growth, as you bring the new things, the new opportunities, Father God. Father, sustain us. Hold us, help us to be refreshed, Lord, in your presence. And Father, I just pray a blessing upon everyone here, Father God, that they would have such a blessed week, Lord, that they would have encounters with you, Lord, that would change them forever, Jesus. That you would stir that within us, that hunger, that endurance, and that encouragement, Lord. Because frankly, Jesus, we cannot do it without you. But we know that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So we praise you. We thank you for your presence, your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.